Welcome to part two of our podcast on cholesterol management, nutrients and supplement strategies. In the first part of this podcast, we looked at dietary support and nutrients to manage lipid profile. We also looked at inhibiting the absorption of dietary cholesterol. In this second section, I want to look at inhibiting the oxidation and glycation of LDL, which of course has a particular risk factor with cardiovascular disease. Now, one of the nutrients to consider is CoQ10. Oxidized or glycated LDL can affect your endothelial mitochondrial function and damage the endothelial barrier, and this is generally considered to be a precursor to cardiovascular events. Now, CoQ10 is an integral component of mitochondrial metabolism and also the only known endogenous synthesized lipid-soluble antioxidant, and is actually incorporated into LDL particles where it can help to protect against oxidation. Statin drugs, which are typically used to treat high cholesterol, ironically also suppress levels of CoQ10 in the blood. And that's why individuals taking a statin would always be recommended to supplement with CoQ10. But CoQ10 would certainly offer antioxidant protection. Now, another group of nutrients are the carotenoids. These are common constituents of the LDL particle. Beta-carotene is the second most abundant antioxidant in LDL, and the other common ones include lycopene and lutein. And these may also be transported by LDL particles as well. So together, these three carotenoids help protect LDL particles from oxidative damage. So include foods rich in carotenoids, such as the leafy greens, watermelon, tomato, mango, apricots, cantaloupe, melon, and carrots, and so on. Vitamin E, the natural tocopherols and tocotrienols together form vitamin E, and these are fat-soluble antioxidants that again strongly inhibit the oxidation of LDL particles. So look for a mixed formulation for optimal protection. Pomegranate has also been studied due to its high concentration of polyphenols. And consumption of pomegranate polyphenols has been shown to also lower total and LDL cholesterol concentrations while maintaining HDL. So it has antioxidant properties as well as lipid-lowering properties. And another group of antioxidants are the polyphenols. Polyphenol intake generally has been associated with a lower risk of cardiovascular mortality. And that might partly explain the health benefits of several common foods, tea, fruits like berries, vegetables, wine, chocolate. The flavonoids, which are the largest and best studied class of polyphenols, it also includes things like the catechins from green tea and chocolate, black tea, soya isoflavones, and also from red wine, and the anthocyanidins from grape and berries. So again, focus on these foods for extra antioxidant protection. Now, there have been a few studies as well on curcumin, which is the active constituent in turmeric. This has a variety of protective roles in cardiovascular health, potentially reducing oxidative stress and inflammation and the proliferation of smooth muscle cells and monocytes. Curcumin may also reduce serum cholesterol by increasing the production of LDL receptors, but at the moment human data is limited. But certainly it has been well studied for reducing inflammatory responses and for its antioxidant capacity. Now, another focus you can consider is how we can enhance cholesterol elimination. And there are again some traditional ways that we can use. So globe artichoke has a traditional use as a liver protectant and a choleretic. Now that means it's a compound that stimulates bile flow. And in stimulating bile flow, artichoke may aid the body in the disposal of excess cholesterol. In fact, one trial which used artichoke extract at 1,800 milligrams a day for 6 weeks reduced total cholesterol by 9%, and LDL cholesterol by 16% in people that had high cholesterol, and there was no adverse effect on HDL. You can also optimize lipid profile with a few other nutrients as well. One of the most common is niacin, sometimes called nicotinic acid or vitamin B3. At doses substantially above the RDA, the recommended daily amount, niacin treatments have been shown to significantly raise HDL, the protective cholesterol, and it can also change the distribution of LDL by increasing the more protective large buoyant LDL particles and reducing the more atherosclerotic small dense LDL. Now remember that niacin at high doses can result in a flushing effect on the body, so always select a non-flush supplement. And fish oils. Fish oils are a source, of course, of omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. And we know that consumption has been linked to reductions in cardiovascular disease overall and have been shown to significantly reduce serum triglycerides. They may also have some strong anti-inflammatory properties. So including 1 to 2 grams of fish oil a day would be recommended, or increasing your intake of oily fish to 3 or 4 portions every week. Probiotics are another emerging area for cholesterol management. Now they're well known for their role in regulating the immune activity and reducing inflammation. And a review of research found that certain probiotic strains, particularly Lactobacillus rutii, has good evidence for reducing cardio risk by lowering the total and LDL cholesterol markers, as well as inflammatory markers. And one of the trials was using about 2.8 billion colony-forming units of this particular Lactobacillus species. And it appears to increase bile acid breakdown and excretion, helping to remove the cholesterol from circulation. So you can see that there are many different approaches for helping with cholesterol management through diet, nutrients, and supplements. Cholesterol management, of course, needs to be considered as part of a multifactorial approach with regards to cardiovascular risk reduction, rather than just taken in isolation. But there is sufficient research to support the important role that both dietary intervention, nutrients, and supplements can play. Thank you for listening.